Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. You know what that means. I'm here with my friend of Casey Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitter machine. Casey, what is going on, man?
Not much, my friend. Just another beautiful Saturday, hoping for more sports to come our way. But we got some fun stuff to talk about, which is good compared to kind of trying to figure out what to talk about. So I'm good. I'm doing well. PitchCon's been great. We had fun last night. So there we go.
That's right. I heard you're getting triple digis out there, too, as far as the money goes.
I was living in your world for a little while. Unfortunately, I'm still in California.
Yesterday, because I'll just go, and this happened before quarantine too, but I'll just go like a couple days without leaving my apartment or looking outside or opening a window. So I was like, God, my AC is running a lot today. And then I looked at my the temperature. And I was like, oh, 104. That's why, right there.
Bingo.
I see. Maybe I should turn this up a little bit. I love how people, I'm like, yeah, I keep it like 79 or 80 in my apartment. They're like, 79? Are you crazy? I'm like, well, when it's 104 outside, you know, that's, 25
just
degrees
like
difference.
Box.
So, it's all relative, of course. But I tell you what, it wasn't hot for the Match 2.0. And was that the official name that they were calling the golf with Mickelson and Tiger and Peyton and Brady?
They were calling it the Match, 2.0, because the original Match was just Tiger versus Phil. So they added some spark to it and called it the Match 2, Match 2.0 and stuff. They had a bunch of different names for it. Any way they could make money, they used it.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, man, I'm not a golf guy, of course, and it's completely wasted on me when I live out here in Arizona with, so many beautiful golf courses and all that good stuff. But I just like to play golf at those places, you know. It costs an arm and a leg, and I already have enough expensive hobbies. So, plus, I'm not an early riser by any stretch of the imagination. So, when it's 116 out here, and the only nice time to go to the golf course is at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., and even then, it's not really nice. It's just nicer than the middle of the day. I'm just like, yeah, you know what? Pass. Same thing with hunting, you know? And hunting is in better weather for the most part, but I'm just... It's too early for me, you know. Maybe if I could stay, I would rather
stay up all night.
Yeah, and do that than wake up early and do that. So because I'm just going to be a bag of pissing and moaning if it's early. I just don't do early very well at all. And
no,
I had a weird switch. Like I used to wake up before everybody else, and I don't know when the switch was. I'm pretty sure it was like hormones because somewhere in high school – it was just, I cannot wake up, you know, It also could have been starting when I started working. You know, I was working until 12, 1 o'clock in the morning and all that.
That has an impact on things, yes.
It does. So golf is completely wasted on me, but I watched a lot of the tournament, mm-hmm. or the match, I guess it is, from last Sunday, and I found it to be pretty damn enjoyable. I like Charles Barkley on the mic talking a bunch of smack to Brady and Manning. I like Manning and Brady talking smack to each other. Phil was a little old man-ish and dad jokey, so I'm sure you enjoyed that. but I thought it was pretty damn good. I thought they did a great job. But I'm, of course, not the golf expert. So how did this compare to the last one? And was it as good as I'm making it out to be, or we're so desperate for anything, and that's what made this good?
Well, there's probably a factor of that. I'm not going to act like it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. People are just so hungry for, you know, anything live and entertaining. That is the truth. But it was very, very good. Way better than the first one. The Tiger Phil one, we had high expectations because everyone knows Tiger and Phil are both big gamblers off the course. They have side matches all the time. We had big expectations, no trash talking, very simple. This one, they kind of realized what they needed to do. You brought the personalities of Peyton and Tom in there. That was great to see. Tom, and it was also great to see because as a spectator, you watch Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, who were some of the best quarterbacks to ever play the football game, and now they look like average Joes playing golf. So it kind of brought them back to reality for everybody. That was big. The little sarcastic jabs, that's my wheelhouse. That's what I do great on the golf course. Like I was so happy with that. The golf nerd in me did like some of like the Phil and Tiger talking to the football players and trying to tell them how to do things. I thought that was really cool. You said it with Chuck. Chuck was great. Justin Thomas is a phenomenal young golfer, one of the best in the world. He was world number one at one time recently. He was on the course when he told Chuck, "You're too fat to dunk." That was amazing. they had so many things going on, and it's what we've asked forever in golf is less announcers. Give us the players more, and that's what they gave us. Like, the announcers that were there weren't pro golf announcers. They were just there to have fun with it and kind of spice things up. You let the players do their thing. Even Justin Thomas, I heard in post-match interviews, he said, "I was just kind of hanging out there, and I was just trying to think, what would I want to learn if I was sitting at home?" And that's how, because he knows these guys personally, so it was easy for him just to talk to them. It was huge. It was great. The ratings, they averaged around 6 million. Like, ooh, it blew stuff out of the water on Sunday. So it wasn't just you. It hit a lot of the non-golf crowd because of those things they intertwined into it. They had a lot of people tweeting things coming on TV, like JJ Watt got on and said some things and donated money. Russell Wilson, Brooks Koepka was like tweeting, "Hey, here's $100,000 if you can do this. Oh, you did it? Hey, double or nothing on this hole." They raised over $20 million for charity. So it was awesome.
Yeah, it was obviously profitable. And you know, the whole point was to donate towards charity. And like you said, I think their goal was $10 million. And then I saw at the very end of the tournament them holding up the check for $20 million. So very nice effort to double, you know, what they expected to get. Now, do you think that this will lead to a trend of more, I guess, more fun in golf? Because it always seems like golf is kind of more serious. And, you know, Billy Madison, one of the, you know, favorite Adam Sandler movies of all time, you know, just really made golf fun. And I think that's why a lot of people enjoyed it. But there's a lot of seriousness. And, that, you know, obviously there's going to be players that take it a little bit too serious. Who was the big, fat, drunk guy that always would take his shirt off and stuff? Was that Daly? Why am I forgetting?
John Daly is the big, crazy one. Yes, he still for to this day, he smokes heaters the whole time, drinks Diet Cokes, and requests a golf cart instead of walking. So, yes.
Okay, so it feels like if they had more characters like that, and obviously not everybody can do that, you know, not everyone's going to be able to appeal to that crowd and stuff like that. But it feels like if it was a little more fun, if everything was like the Waste Management Open, you know what I mean? Yep. I feel like maybe it would do, I mean, it already does great, and it doesn't have to have the crowd that it had on Sunday. You know, all the rubes and boobs that have never watched golf like me now watching it. But I thought it was interesting, you know, do they usually talk to the golfers like that on the course, or do some of them do that and some of them not do it? Like, how is it on a normal, you know, Sunday?
That's the thing, is they don't do it enough. They try to do it once in a while on the round, but they try to stay out of their way, especially if they're in contention because they're playing for millions of dollars and all this stuff. Right. So they try to keep it all, you know, focused and civil, but the biggest thing is changing the target demo. And that's kind of what this hopefully does, because the wave of golf right now is, you know, 10 years ago, it was Tiger Woods and who could try to catch Tiger Woods. That's all it was. And even this version of Tiger Woods now, anybody that's watched golf long enough will tell you this is a completely different person. Like he's a very normal individual. So we're all hoping they take notes from this. They're not going to do everything. We already know that. That's fact. But like Phil Mickelson and others have already said, hey, while we have some events coming up here with no fans, I got no problem being mic'd up. That would change so many things. Like if you watch golf Twitter, people that play DFS and everything, all we ever want is to hear the players and the caddies. We could care less about anybody in that booth. We don't care at all. Just let us watch the golf, and we'd rather mute it half the time. So if they could intertwine those things, it'd be amazing. And then they got to embrace like that Justin Thomas who I was talking about that was on the course. The wave of the future, there's so many talented young golfers. It's ridiculous how many of them there are. And they all hang out off the course and golf together. You watch their Instagrams, their Snapchats, all their social media. They're golfing together. They did a spring break trip where they were playing with their shirts off and sandals in like the Bahamas. And they do all kinds of stuff like that. If they could embrace their personalities, they could change a lot of viewpoints on golf.
Now, how does the booth kind of work for a standard golf? You know, and I apologize for sounding like a total noob, but I just...
No, this is fine. You know, I actually get to teach you something. This
well,
is fun.
Not to you, to really to the listeners, because I know there's people rolling their eyes out there. I know you know I know nothing, but to the listeners, I know, you know, it's kind of surprising. I'm such a big sports person, but I just... And I live in Arizona, but I don't like golf. And it's not necessarily that I don't like golf. It's just that I don't play it. I was never into it. And I don't watch it because it's on Saturday and Sunday when there's generally something else sports related on that I'm watching. So I don't ever really trip into it. You know what I mean? It's not like, because I'll watch hockey and I can, you know, I know what's going on in a hockey game most of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, not all the time, but most of the time I can pick it up. But it's not something I watch on a regular basis. I, you know, can throw on a NASCAR race and pretty much know what's going on there. And by the way, the NASCAR that we've had on recently, it hasn't done anything to change my, you know, I don't dislike NASCAR, but it hasn't built me up to go, wow, I really want to watch NASCAR now. It's just kind of like, okay, yep, they're still going in circles. Great. And then but the golf, it was really interesting, of course, but how does a booth normally work? Is there a color guy and a play-by-play guy, kind of like a standard, you know, baseball, hockey, football booth, or are there a couple guys? Like, how does it in general work?
Yeah, for the most part, there's usually three or four booths on the course, usually towards the back nine. On 18, usually is the main group, and it's Nance and Romo on CBS. And then it's or Nance and Faldo also. Faldo, those are the main ones. Romo does fill in from time to time, but it's usually Nance and Faldo on 18, and then they got guys intertwined. And then they'll have like four or five people walking with groups on the course that'll try to interview them, or at least kind of, you know, they'll whisper into their mic saying, hey, this is a shot he has from 120 yards. Yeah, stuff like that, silent reporters. So they try to do that and give you as much access as possible. But in the end of it, we're watching the golf not to listen to those guys as much fun. Like David Faraday is one of the funniest guys on the planet. If they let him be David Faraday, that would change the viewing as well. But they have to keep him PC, which really sucks. It's like when Sports Grid tells us we can't cuss and have fun. That's what happens with David Faraday. So it's one of those things. It's still catered too much to the crowd that there's a reason why the commercials are John Hancock, Viagra, and stuff like that. And that's the demographic it's going after.
It's all investing in deep hills.
Yes. So that's still where it's at, and that's the problem. But as these young kids keep doing what they're doing, there has been slight changes, and hopefully they take some things from this match that could really help move the product forward, because it was so cool to watch. So many people like you that don't watch golf have told me that, and then a lot of my friends are diehard golf fans. Like I was on a text chain. We were just texting the whole time. Other guys were texting me the next day, like how awesome that was. It was fun to watch.
Now, you know, I saw that, and of course, many, many athletes have volunteered to be next on the next match that they have. Now, the first one was, obviously, it was in the middle of a pandemic, and I think there were fans there, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
Maybe there weren't. There
nope.
weren't. Okay.
No fans.
So, but the last one was... it was just kind of a TV grab, right? And it was in the off-season, too.
Pay-per-view at this luxurious Las Vegas golf course. And the winner got $10 million, not even the charity.
Okay. So, but the next one, and I think the charity bit is probably going to stick after this one.
Yep.
But Who would you want to see the most out of any of these people? I know Romo can golf. I mean, Romo could probably go on the PGA Tour if he wanted to, from the things that I've heard, and I don't know anything about it. Maybe that's a big joke, but I've heard that he's a really, really good golfer. Like, he doesn't have a handicap or anything. I heard, you know, Curry wants to do it. You know, a lot of people have been calling for Michael Jordan and Steph Curry, maybe a couple baseball players in there as well, even though the seasons usually run simultaneous, if I'm remembering correct. But who would you like to see in the match three?
Romo and Curry make the most sense just because they're both phenomenal golfers. Like, they're really, really good golfers. So that would be fun in that respect. Everybody wants MJ. I 100% want MJ. But I only want MJ if it's MJ. I don't want, like, PC held back. MJ.
Yeah.
I would love MJ and Charles because they don't like each other, and they both like to gamble, and they both like to golf, and they both like to talk trash. Like, that would be must-see TV.
But Charles is so bad, isn't he? Like, it's yes. I know it's a joke, but for whatever reason, one of the best basketball players ever, the dude cannot golf to save his life. Yeah. I feel like I would be better knowing nothing than Charles.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. He's pretty, pretty bad. But the beautiful thing about them is they get handicaps, so they get strokes on certain holes. So that'll help him out in that respect. But those are the main ones. And then right now they're kind of saying Tiger and Phil have to be there. But there's other young golfers that have a bunch of friends, like, you know, Jake Owens, great friends with Jordan Spieth. There's like Darius Rucker is a big time golfer. He's got friends down in there's so many ways they can go with this. So many charities they can raise money for. They can really take advantage of what they just did and move it forward. I know Verlander wants to get in on it. I would love just to see like Maddox and Glavin and Smoltz get in on it like the old days, because they always there's all the stories of them golfing together, like in between starts and all the money they'd spend on the course. Like, John Smoltz is legit good. He qualified for the senior U.S. Open last year. He's that good.
Wow.
So there's some fun angles you could take with it. But I think Curry and Romo right now make the most sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably makes the most sense, too. I don't know, like, is Romo going to be a good smack talker? I just can't tell.
I bet any guy in a locker room that's been in a locker room long enough can talk smack.
Well, yeah, that's true. I just don't know.
I'm going to give him that.
It would be as natural. It was almost weird seeing Brady talk smack, you know, like Brady's always fiery, you know, like when he hit that, what was that? A birdie?
A birdie, I believe. Yes. Or
that was
an eagle.
Gorgeous.
It was an eagle. It was an eagle. Yes.
Eagle. Okay.
But he also ripped his pants. So that was good too.
Oh yeah. I mean, just like, it was funny seeing that happen to a not fat person. You know what I mean? It's just like, good Lord, man. You couldn't, pick just a little bit of a looser pair. I feel like I would want, I know you can't have baggy like we would normally like to wear, you know, more from our age than anything. But, you know, no skin tight pants. That just can't be helpful in a golf game. I can't imagine.
No, it's not.
And then he looked like he was wearing MC Hammer pants for the rest of the tournament.
His rain pants is the only thing he had left. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I also thought it was funny when he was like, when is the heavy stuff going to come? When it was just, you know, loading up animals 2x2 into an arc behind him during all that rain. But we got to go to a break here. So that was fun to talk about, because obviously I don't talk about golf hardly ever. But it was fun to see, and that was fun to talk about. When we come back, we're going to switch gears to a not fun subject and get Casey Bubba's opinion on the current labor negotiations in baseball. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this break. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. all major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
In this league.
Talk about www.com. Me, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You can follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm here with KC Bubba at BDMTrek on the Twitter. KC, plug all the stuff and things that you got going on right now, man.
Yeah, Bench with Bubba is still chugging along. We're going to talk about why it's tough to keep chugging along here in a minute. But we're still chugging along in that respect. Doing Bubba and the Bat Flip on Monday nights. Had SP Streamer on this past week. He's a great follow on Twitter and a really knowledgeable pitching guy out there. So we talked to some pitchers, and he has built a streaming model he's working on, which is pretty cool to discuss. Other than that, just writing at RotoBaller. We got the Fantasy Black Book out there, of course. The football one's coming out. Might be coming out, but yeah, Monday, real soon. So that's going to be awesome. And I will just plug it because we were on it, but PitchCon, go back and listen to it. Go watch it on Sunday or after this and go donate some money to a good cause.
Yeah, that was it was a lot of fun to do, and appreciate Nick Pollock having us as a part of that. Nick and Alex and everybody over there at Pitchers List. Now,
they're going to be so mad if they heard you say that.
Why?
You don't say the S, Pitcher List.
Pitcher List, okay.
There's a story behind that.
I didn't even realize I said that. But
oh, yeah, there's a story behind it. It's so good.
Well, I got a story, too. And the story is you can't say Steve Bogman and Chris Welch and expect us to get everything right.
Fair enough. You guys have the right to say that. That is very true.
I mean, and that was completely not a slight either. That was a mess up on my part for real. That wasn't a conscious effort. So my apologies to everyone at pitcherlist.com. my apologies. But yeah, that was a lot of fun, of course. But now what's not fun is these labor negotiations, because I got to say, and I talked to the Welsh about this earlier, of course, but it feels to me like this is when you get a terrible offer in a fantasy league. And instead of saying, what are you doing, and working out the trade with the other person, or saying something along the lines of, we're too far off, I'm not even going to bother with this nonsense. This is like when you go, oh, really? Okay, I'm going to offer you something that's even worse than what you offered me. Yeah. And the players union came back with over 82 games, prorated, and all the stuff that the MLB did not want to end up paying. So it looks like we are in a bit of a pickle as far as getting this baseball season starts, which to me, quite frankly, is just disgusting. And I don't want to be Chipper Jones here. But I think Chipper Jones, whether he was right to say it or not, I think that the sentiment is correct in the fact that with 30, 40, 50 million people out of work, whatever it is at this point, we don't want to hear millionaires squabbling with billionaires, regardless of whose fault it is. And it is the fault of the owners.
Yes.
That's not really up for debate. It's not a question. It's the owner's issue. They agreed on this in March, and now they want to review it because they're not going to be making as much money as previously thought. I thought someone had a great point of, the owners say every single year, no way we're doing a revenue split with the players. We're not doing that. We will pay you, and we will not have a salary cap and all that stuff. but we're not going to do a revenue split. And the one year they're going to lose money. They go, hey, how about we talk about this revenue split? And it's just absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, animosity growing on both sides. A lot of players talking about this publicly. Your thoughts on this whole situation, Bubba?
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed we're talking about this, but it's good because apparently people love when I get tilted on air like last week, so this will be fun again. But it's rough. It's really rough seeing the I know negotiations, I've said it from the beginning, you got a high ball to start negotiating. That's what things do. They're not going to come up and go, hey, we're going to pay you extra money to not play as many games as we agreed upon, so are you guys good with that? That was never the option. But what they're doing is redonkulous, absolutely ridiculous. Like Scherzer came out and said his things, and the more we found out about it, it was basically because he's one of the head guys on the committee. It was basically scripted for him, and coming from one of the biggest guys in the league, it makes a ton of sense for that to happen. And then, like you mentioned, over 82 games, we want to prorate, which the whole point of doing this, I read a long thread from Baseball Prospectus, union lawyer guy that writes for them. I did not know they had one, but it was interesting. He broke down why they did it and made 100% sense. It's like, okay, if you want to keep taking away our money, even though we agreed upon this in March, we're going to ask for more games since you agree on 82 games at a certain salary. We're going to ask for more games and our salary. So if you could try to tell us, hey, we agreed upon 82, it's like, okay, well, hey, we agreed on this money. So it's kind of one of those things to prove, because they're trying to say the players are wrong, but by doing this, it can say, no, you guys are wrong. So it's basically a big pissing match is what it's come down to.
Yeah.
And it's going to get solved. I really believe it. I know it looks worse than it's ever looked. Like it looks horrific. And it seems like it drops late night every night on Twitter, and then it just turns into a tailspin of like everyone giving their thoughts, including myself. I get very angry with it.
I saw you throwing it out there the other day. It was more or less you weren't talking about the situation. You were talking about people reacting to the situation. You're like, look, I understand everyone's first thought is to be negative, but give me a break. I'm tired of seeing it. You know, it was pretty much your. I mean, I'm loosely stating what you said, so you can correct.
Well, my biggest thing is, if you don't think it's going to happen, that's fine. That's your decision. Don't come into my mentions. That's all I'm asking. Like, because I have so many people throughout this whole process that have come up. Like, when I say something, well, there's no season, so what's it matter? I'm like, I didn't ask you, and B, if you're going to be negative, go somewhere else. That's all there is.
Yeah.
That simple. Take your. I don't know how people live in those bubbles. I've never figured that out. But I really do think they'll figure it out, because we keep talking about it being about money. They're already going to lose money this year. We already know that. They're going to lose so much more than money if they don't play baseball this
year.
Very
true.
And they've already announced that they're going to have soccer in Britain and Italy, which got hit harder by the virus than the USA. That's why I tweeted out the other night. I said, the sad thing about this is, when people right out the gate said there'd be no season, they said it was because of the disease. Right now, the reason they wouldn't have a season has nothing to do with the disease. Zero. Yeah. And that is embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, especially when, and I was talking about this, I think, last week, or it might have been on the baseball pod with the Welsh, but baseball has been, it's just been a healing source for the country after things like this, after national tragedies, after 9/11. I think everyone that was alive and, you know, old enough to remember and appreciate these things, I mean, are you ever going to forget Mike Piazza hitting that homer in Shea Stadium? That's something I'll take to my grave.
George W. throwing out the first pitch, all those things. Oh, man, exactly. I just got chills talking about it.
Dude, I was at Game 7 of the 2001 World Series, which was, that was the first World Series that got pushed into November because, in September at the end of the year, they took a week or 10 straight days off. After 9/11 to have this happen. And, you know, obviously it was a huge gathering of people in a stadium and a major event that was going to be televised worldwide. So people were paranoid going into the stadium. I mean, it took so long to get in because they had giant metal detectors and were patting everybody down and all that stuff. But I'll never forget during the national anthem, they do the flyover and the stadium was open because it was here in Arizona. And the stadium was open, and a stealth bomber goes overhead. And I was sitting behind home plate, and 7 rows from the very top in the third deck. So I was one of the first people to see it coming up, through the sky. And I'm getting chills thinking about that moment right now. So, you know, baseball has always been a healing source. Even, you know, A League of Their Own is about, you know, when World War II happened and they had women play their own baseball league because all of the men were either in factories making weapons or on the front lines during World War II. But they had to have baseball, so they put this league together. So baseball has always been a healing source of, you know, whatever is ailing our country. So to think that they're not going to get this worked out because of money, and once again, I will never blame the players in this. This is absolutely not on the players. This is absolutely 100% on the greedy owners, and everybody understands that. So I'm not, but you know, seeing all of these arguments and the way that Blake Snell said what he said, even though he's right, just people don't want to hear that stuff, especially people that are, you know, a lot of people are losing their unemployment benefits right now because we're just flat out running out of money. So nobody wants to hear that stuff. Nobody wants to hear excuses. And it's never a shut up and play, but it kind of is a shut up and play. You know?
Pretty much.
You know, it is a figure a way out. And I'm with you, Bubba. I just think there's too much money for everybody to lose. And, you know, besides money, it's really respect. It's respect of your audience. And because, and I said this to Chris, and, you know, I think he rolled his eyes at me a little bit, as he probably should have. But my first thought when I saw this was like, why would anybody watch this? Like, if this is going to be the sticking point to getting this back, where every other sport, sport is figuring it out across the globe,
and you never hear them say anything about money. Not one of them. I have not heard anybody complain about a contract.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the thing you hear out of football is, you know, people are asking J.J. Watt about him getting another contract, and he's like, "Yeah, you know what? I don't think now's the time to talk about my contract." And it's smart. But all of this infighting and bickering, and everyone has opinions, as they should. I'm never going to sit here and say, you know, I mean, look, I didn't like Trevor Bauer before it was cool, you know. So I've never been a Trevor Bauer fan, but what he's saying is right. You know,
100%.
What he's saying is absolutely right. And these guys need to voice their opinion. And it's a bad look. And the Welsh is right when he says this never should have been a public debate. This never should have been negotiated through the public, and the Players Association is pissed about that, as they should be. But this needs to get figured out, and I'm with you in the positivity side of it's, you know, we say too big to fail and things like that. There's too much money to lose for everyone for a season not to happen. So I do think that they'll get this figured out. I do think that the initial plan of starting in early June or early July and having spring training, you know, 2.0 or whatever you want to call it for this season, having it start in, you know, early to mid June is probably unrealistic because the sides are so far apart right now.
No, I still think it happens that way. I still think early July happens. Really do. I think in order, once the players throw their angle out of more games, eventually they're going to have to start negotiating back and forth, and they're going to realize it's going to have to be 82 games or 81 games or whatever, and then the playoffs, because that's the only way this is going to work. And I feel that the players want to play this much. The owners in reality, I saw, only want to play like 60 games and have an extended playoff because they get more money that way than doing the 82 games
Fine.
And then the playoffs.
I'm okay with that too. You know, I'm okay with that too, and that's fine by me. You know, if they want to say, "Hey, look, we'll give you your prorated contracts, but we want to play less games and have more, you know, playoff games," fine. I'm more than okay with that. I don't know if the players will be, and at the end of the day, that's really what matters, is what the players want, because they have to agree to this. But it is getting absolutely ugly. And like you said, you just don't see this from any other sport. I mean, the NHL has already kind of announced that they're going to this 24-team round-robin tournament, which I think is pretty badass.
Pretty awesome. Pretty darn awesome.
It's going to be a lot. They haven't decided where exactly they're going to play. I know that they were just like, "Oh, Arizona? No, thank you." Yes. Which I thought was very, very funny because Arizona is one of the first states that, like, hey, yeah, you can come play here. And they're like,
come on down, boys, girls.
I think we've had enough problems with the stadium situation with the Phoenix Coyotes and the Coyotes possibly moving to Winnipeg, but then staying. And then all of the fighting in Glendale with, you know, because the hockey stadium is across the street from the football stadium. Here in Arizona. So they've had, the NHL's had enough issues. They're like, we'll go to Vegas, but we're not coming to Arizona. No, thank you. Pass. And the NBA, nothing is official yet, but it
Disney
looks like,
World.
Yeah, they're going to be probably having their tournament at Disney World in Orlando, which makes a lot of sense as well. They may have a couple of, they're going to do the bubble. They're going to do the, you know, the NHL is going to do two different cities, I'm assuming for East and West. And then the NBA is just going to do one bubble in Orlando for their games. And the NFL, you know, and the NFL has addressed it more than I give them credit for, because I always say that the NFL just acts like there's no virus. They're like, yeah, we'll do the we're going to keep the draft where it is. Like, well, you can't do it in Vegas. Ah, that's fine. We'll do it in Roger Goodell's garage. That's fine. You know, we don't care. So,
it's funny. The NFL's even talking about now that they're going to actually do training camps and everything. Like, it's legit happening. They're confident in this. It'll be kind of a pod system. Like, when you check into camp, everyone's tested. You can't leave until camp's over, and then you can go do your thing and then get tested when the season starts. Like, that kind of deal. Which is what the whole process. Once we start testing things, it's going to open the doors for a lot of fun stuff.
Right, exactly. And the NFL, you know, the NFL is acting like they're going to go off without a hitch. And there's many, many doctors and people following along in the situation that says, hey, look, you know, positive tests are going to happen. You know, this spreads like a wildfire wherever it is. So we're probably going to get some positive tests pop up within sports somewhere. I mean, we had it.
No doubt about it.
I mean, we had it in the NBA, and that's basically what shut down the NBA the first time. So that stuff is going to happen, but now that we have more procedures in line to handle that kind of stuff, it's going to make it so the whole thing doesn't have to stop when there's one positive test, because we know it spreads like wildfire. It went from Gobert to his teammate Mitchell to Christian Wood, who they had played two nights before, and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, hopefully we're going to get most of these leagues back, and baseball included. Let's just get baseball going. And you know what? I feel this will be a non-starter discussion point once baseball gets going. Everyone will shut up about it. No one will care.
Oh, easily, easily.
And I hate having to talk about it now, but that's the news that we have right now. Yep. We got to talk about it. But we got to go to break. When we come back, I want to get I want to just kind of explain this possibility for NCAA players to start getting paid, from how I understand it, and get your take on it too, Bubba. So we'll be talking about that right after this break. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Stick with us.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you, because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back. The show is coming to an end. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. You hear Endless Love. You know that that means that this show is coming to an end. If you would, please check out the In This League Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, or just go to InThisLeague.com and it will redirect you. We have all kinds of stuff going on. The Welsh has his top 500 minor leaguers ranked. I have PPR rankings. I have dynasty rankings. I have first-year player draft rankings, all for football, posted on our Patreon. We have secret shows. Oh my God, Bubba, this secret show that we did last week was a lot of fun. I don't know.
I've heard you guys hinting at this. I need to go look at this thing.
Have you heard of the tale of Stephanie East?
No, but I'm thinking I probably should have.
All right. Well, don't give it away what it is, but type in Stephanie East into your Google machine.
Is this going to shut down my internet?
No, I don't think it will. But just type in Stephanie East and see what comes up and know why we were talking about it. So this last secret show was a lot of fun. It was hilarious.
I saw this picture online.
Oh, yeah. I included a personal story, a personal anecdote of my own, not related to that situation at all, Bubba, before I scare you. But I went to a gathering for the first time since coronavirus has happened, and I experienced a extremely shameful moment, not for myself, but like, you know, when you see someone else doing something shameful and your face gets red, I had one of those. You acted like you don't do that.
No, I'm looking at these pictures and you sent me down a rabbit hole right now. This is part of me wants to puke and part of me is like, what in the world?
Oh yeah. So we discussed that a lot, and then I have my own story, of course. So it was a fantastic secret show, the most recent one, and we have about 80 of those. So and they're pretty evergreen for the most part. We have a couple, mocks in those, but for the most part, they're funny anecdotes of things that have happened or stories that are pretty damn evergreen. So we have all of that in there as well. $10 or more will get you into our GroupMe rooms where we talk about all the sports all year long. And in that, you have direct access to myself and the Welsh, where you can just DM us on GroupMe and ask us questions. I'm helping a lot of people out with their dynasty drafts right now or first-year player drafts. I got one of our guys, Craig, is in a 80-round best ball dynasty league for football. So it's IDPs and stuff, which I wrote up in the Black Book. You can buy that on Monday, too, with our buddy Joe Pizzapia, of course, leading the way there. Many other fantastic writers in there as well on the football side. And Bubba and the Welsh were in on the baseball Black Book. So just please check out InThisLeague.com if you can. We got plenty of stuff to offer you for not a lot of money. So appreciate that. Now, I don't know. How much do you know about the possibility of NCAA athletes being able to now earn money?
I've heard that's starting to become a thing. Like, it's really close to being passed. I haven't heard all the final details yet, but I've heard it's going to be happening here, hopefully by the end of the year. It looks like, if not, next year, is it? I know the deal's almost done. I don't know when it goes into effect though.
So they are going to, I believe, the voting on this by the Board of Governors or whatever it is that they have in the NCAA, which is still confusing, which is why when the president got all of the commissioners of the sports leagues to meet or whatever before he was, roasting Twitter and things like that, when he got all the commissioners to meet, he just didn't have college athletes or college athletics in there because it's kind of like, well, who do you call on? You know what I mean? There's no one central.
It's like Ghostbusters.
Right. There's no one central entity to that. So you call on, commissioners or governors of the SEC, of the Pac-12, of the Big 12, Big 10, all those. And Notre Dame isn't in a conference, so they're just kind of doing their own thing. At least
they just call to God. They're fine.
Right, exactly. So he didn't know who to call, so he kind of ignored them, which has always been confusing anyway. And, you know, we know that players can earn money, like they can go get a normal job, but they can't have a job that gets them money based on, you know, what they do on the field in the past. Now, this, from what I read, is going to be voted on in October, but there are still, they have to get governments involved here, and they have to get antitrust laws passed and all this kind of stuff. So it's super complicated. But the bottom line is the NCAA's new release, and I'm reading this off the article from ESPN. You can check this out if you want. But the NCAA's new release and said athletes will be allowed to appear in advertisements and can reference their sport in school, but they would not be able to use school logos or branding in those advertisements. So if you went out and took, who would you say the biggest athlete in college sports is right now? Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence could go make a killing right now.
He could make so much money just by, you know, advertising for, he could wear an orange jersey that has his number on it that doesn't say Clemson, of course. He can say Clemson, but he can't have their logo on it. And say, you know, hey, I'm Trevor Lawrence and I love AT&T because blah, 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 blah. I'm Trevor Lawrence and I love the Sports Grid because blah, 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 blah. Whatever it is. And get paid a boatload of money. And this is going to be huge. Now, like I said, the formal proposal with the new rules is scheduled to be submitted no later than October. And the NCAA board will vote on the proposal no later than January. So it won't be here this year. So you won't see Sam Ellinger in any, you know, advertisements or anything. You won't see some of your favorite players, you know, Keaton Slovis from USC, not going to be in commercials this year. That's still going to be strictly off the limit. But this is going to be huge, Bubba. And I just want to know, what do you think the impact of branding and all that kind of stuff? Because, I mean, this makes going to a big-name school so much more than just playing time now, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. Like, it's not like Alabama and Clemson's and Texas and all these schools, Oklahoma, already had advantages to get players. Well, this just ups the ante so much. Like, I heard someone say, like, think about when Kyler Murray's at Oklahoma, and he's going for the Heisman, and some booster goes, hey, I want you to come and, like, meet my kid's, like, birthday party at the golf club today. I'll give you $20,000. Like, he can go do that now.
Well, like, no crazy. Boosters. Boosters are not allowed to be involved in this. That's fine print
writing.
That's
a very sketchy road right there.
That's fine print writing, but boosters are not allowed to say, hey, you know what, if you come to Oklahoma, we'll give you $20,000.
Well, no, I'm not saying it like that, but I'm saying, like, hey, it's like a side gig while he's playing. Right. Like, on Thursday, hey, my kids are having a swim party. Can you come, like, you know, shake hands with the kids?
Here's 20 grand. Boosters will be exempt from this, so yeah, they're not allowed to hire them to do, you know, it won't be like, hey, you know what, come to Oklahoma and or come to Texas or wherever, and if you do, I'll also give you a job at my car dealership. Yeah. And you'll start at $250,000 a year.
Well, see there's the loop,
one day a month, you know,
there's the loophole, like, okay, we don't make that agreement, but hey, you want to do some commercials for my car dealership, I'll pay you for that.
Yep.
There's like the loopholes to it, like little things like that. They could do autograph signings at this said car dealership and make money. All kinds of things like this. I think it's great. I think these guys deserve all the money in the world because the schools just absolutely abuse them.
Yes.
for what they get. Like, I'm 100%. And for whatever I say, don't ever think I don't agree with these guys making all their money. I'm just looking forward to seeing to what levels this goes to, because, like, I know we're going to talk about, like, Reggie Bush, but think about all these guys that, you know, Reggie Bush lost his Heisman because his family got a house or an apartment in L.A. Like,
yeah, I remember Penny Hardaway, like, and who was Wiseman, that whole bit earlier in the year when
the top kid coming into college basketball. Yeah,
exactly. When, you know, Penny Hardaway, before he was the head coach of Memphis, paid for Wiseman's family to move to Memphis. Yep. And he might have helped them out with a mortgage payment or something. It wasn't a ridiculous amount of money. It was like, I mean, it was a lot. It was like $7,000, but it wasn't like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Here's a Lamborghini.
Right.
Go
it wasn't
fun,
any
kids.
Of that stuff. You know, it wasn't Maurice Clarett driving
it a wasn't Hummer. A bunch of tattoos in an Ohio State tattoo parlor.
God, so ridiculous, by the way. Just the it dumbest is. Rules in the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, it's all comical. It's so dumb.
Wasn't it great when South Park did the one bashing EA Sports and college football?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's I believe in this one. I've heard stuff since in those football games, they'll have the logos and they'll be representing the school. They don't get paid for those still, right?
No. They don't get paid for anything.
Absolutely garbage. Because think about it. Lawrence is on the cover of the new NCAA football game. He should be getting something for that.
Well, see, this is how they get around that. They wait until the year after the guy graduates and then put him on the cover that year. That's how they get around having that. Happen. So like, you know, with the year after Reggie Bush graduates and is drafted by the Saints, they put Reggie Bush on the cover of the NCAA game.
Sneaky.
Which they don't even make anymore because of the antitrust laws.
Yeah. Well, those will be back.
And Ed O'Banion and stuff like that. Of course they'll be back. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that will be, well, we'll see. I don't know if those are going to go in there or not because they use the logo. And I don't know if they would then pay the players because they have an agreement with the NCAA. That's all weird. I don't know how that works.
It's a gray area, gray area.
If they do make it, they'll have to have, like, you know, the quarterback for Clemson would be, you know, Hispanic guy with dreadlocks or something, like something that doesn't look like Trevor Lawrence at all.
Hispanic guy with dreadlocks.
But then you'll have, I'm just making stuff
it'll
up.
It'll be country singer I mean. Tracy Lawrence
right,
playing
exactly.
quarterback Clemson.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be Darius Rucker will be the quarterback but it'll just be QB1, and then you'll have the people that get the game somehow, and I'm throwing up air quotes, 2 months before it comes out, and then they'll just be putting in the rosters for the actual game. So you could, well, we didn't do that. We made it so you can customize the players and make them look exactly like Trevor Lawrence and drop Trevor Lawrence's name in the game, but we didn't put him in the game.
Nothing. This is not affiliated with EA Sports in any manner.
Exactly. This is just a random dude living in his mom's basement who had 2 months to put in all these names. So, you know, hopefully, the NCAA game was my favorite out of all the
sports
games.
It was the best. In college, in the fraternity house, we would literally just get drunk on day, like middle of the day. We'd have legit tournaments in like one guy's room. We'd all be sitting there, like eight of us, just taking turns. Like we'd make brackets and play it all day long.
Dude,
it was so much fun.
Get good with a triple option team in NCAA. You were just pretty much unstoppable, dude. It was a lot of fun. And I remember the Vince Young years, man. I was insufferable. So it was just like my roommate and the Welsh or whoever I was playing would try to hurt Young because that's the only way they could beat me.
Bounties out on his head.
Absolutely. It was hit stick on Vince Young whenever because it didn't matter. Like if you didn't get me with the hit stick, I was probably going to out-juke you anyway. So that game was a lot of fun. But, I mean, I think that it's about damn time. And I'm wondering, you know, in Reggie Bush, he said that players are going to need guidance.
They will
because of this, and they will. But I don't know, man. He did his interview was with Playboy magazine, which I don't even know if they're
that might have needed guidance to begin with. Yes.
Well, Playboy's actually been known for good interviews for a long time, and I don't know.
Playboy makes them wear clothes now. So what's the point?
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't even think they're doing nudity anymore.
Yeah, what's the point? We used to make the joke. We read it for the articles, but like, really, what's the point now?
Yeah, we actually do read it for the articles at this point. Yeah, you know? But all the stuff that Reggie Bush is saying, and it doesn't really matter. He could be making valid, excellent points about what's going to happen. I mean, the big, the big headline that they pulled, instead of saying that some of these kids are going to need guidance, is he said, without guidance, this will destroy some people. So, people take the headline, Reggie Bush says that paying players will destroy some people, which is not what he said. At all. It's cutting what he said into a nice headline to get clicks and all that stuff. But it doesn't really matter what he says. It feels like whatever Reggie Bush says on this situation, because he was stripped of his Heisman, is going to be filled with resentment and bitterness, right?
Oh, big time. He's going to be extremely bitter about it. I don't blame him at all because he shouldn't be stripped of his Heisman. But what he's saying also makes sense. You think about a lot of these kids that came up with no money and now they can all of a sudden get money to do things. You might go down the wrong little hole there. And next thing you know, you're in some stuff you shouldn't be a part of. So, that's the interesting factor to it. That should be taken care of. But I agree. Bush is going to sound like, you know, he's whining or this, that, or the other, but you know, he's got a little bit of a right to it, the way I look at it.
Yeah, he really does. And you know, I mean, who's more qualified than Reggie Bush to answer questions about payers, players being paid to do this? I mean, I remember, I think it was Jamie Foxx was hosting the ESPYs the year that Reggie Bush was up for, you know, Male Athlete of the Year for what he did at USC. And it was one of the opening jokes was Reggie's just mad because he had to take a pay cut going from USC to New Orleans. And it was, you know, I don't think it was correct, but it's probably pretty close. You know,
yeah,
he was probably making about the same playing at USC as he was with the Saints, for sure.
Uncle Becky probably paid more than the Saints did, so it's cool.
Exactly. So I think this is something, and you know, if you read this ESPN article, they have a couple of congressmen. There was one guy, and I forget his name, and I don't have it sourced here, so I apologize, but he used to play wide receiver at Ohio State, saying, yeah, it's not surprising that this is 20 to 25 years past when it should have been done. So it's been a long time in the making, you know, and student athletes or not, these guys should be able to use their own appearance and their own likeness to get paid to do things in their own time. So, but 100%. Speaking of time, we are out of it. So we're going
to
wrap up
back here. To my Stephanie East rabbit hole. So yeah,
that's right. Go down that Stephanie East rabbit hole and check out inthisleague.com. If you would please check out all of Casey Bubba's work, follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at Is It The Welsh, at BD Entrick, and we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters.
On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.